This is Audible.
Penguin Random House Audio presents, You Need More Money. Wake up and solve your financial problems once and for all. This is the author, Matt Monero. Introduction. Hello, I'm glad you're here. Something motivated you to pick up this audio program called You Need More Money. Maybe the title connected with you instantly and you thought, I do need more money. It's been on my mind for a long time, enough messing around. Maybe this audio program will finally show me what to do about it. Or maybe it's a thought you never had before. A mixture of curiosity and fear made you look. Do I really need more money? Sure, I'd like to have more money, but do I really need it? Could this audio program tell me something I don't know about my finances? Or let's be real. Maybe you picked up this audio program just to scoff at the title, You Need More Money. Who is this Matt Monero guy and why does he think he can tell me how much money I need? If you're the first kind of listener, congratulations. You've taken the first step towards drastically improving your financial situation, acknowledging that you need more money. And you've taken the second step too, finding an audio program that will give you a clear roadmap to getting there. If you're the second kind of listener, let me end your curiosity and fear right now. You do need more money. You need a lot more money than you think. And this audio program is going to show you exactly how to get it. If you follow the steps here, it's going to be a lot easier than you think. If you're the third kind of listener, I have to say, sorry for the rude wake-up call, buddy. But no matter how much you think you got, it's nowhere near enough. And however comfortable you think you are, I'll bet you aren't living the life you always dreamed of. I'm going to show you just how far short you are and what you're going to have to do to cover the gap. No matter who you are, when it comes to your finances, chances are you thought you'd be further along by now. You'd be able to kick back more and worry about the future less. Well, it didn't happen. You're way behind. Even more than you know. And you're too scared to face the truth. I'm betting you haven't discussed the state of your finances with your spouse, your children, your parents, or your brothers and sisters. Even the thought of that discussion gives you too much anxiety. And if you said anything to your friends and your neighbors, you sure as hell haven't told them the truth. Maybe they think you're doing great, killing it even, and you take false comfort in maintaining their illusion. But you know that in reality you haven't put away enough for much of anything other than keeping up with the Joneses and perpetuating the lie. The lie that you are financially secure. But whether you're aware of it or choosing to ignore the reality, the truth is that everywhere you turn, your life is calling for more money. Money for the bills, cars, lessons, tutors, the mortgage, eating out, vacation, college, retirement, the list goes on. It doesn't matter where the money comes from, you just need more of it. If that doesn't scare the hell out of you, it should. How, where, when are you going to catch up? Once you realize that you need more money, this is the question that begins to keep you up at night. I know, because it used to keep me up at night too. But I dug myself out. Not only did I climb out of hopelessness, but I'm on top now. I'm 48 years old and I've been in business for myself since I was 25. I started at the bottom of the barrel in business. No money, no contacts, no plan. I fought and clawed my way to eventually build a successful company from the ground up. Now I operate as president and CEO of three companies that produce annual business of over $100 million. But you won't see me slowing down. I still need more money. Not to pay the bills anymore, but to fulfill my potential. To live my life to the fullest. To provide long-lasting security for my wife and our three boys. And to help more people. The truth is, your picture of success probably isn't adequate. Whether you like it or not, we now live in a winner-take-all world. Working people haven't gotten a decent raise in decades. And the middle class is dying off. You need to climb into the ranks of the rich quickly or risk being left behind. It's not enough to just stay on top of paying your bills. You also need to move the needle of your finances enough to create real wealth that can provide for you and your family into retirement and beyond. That's right. I want you to leave a ton of money to your heirs. Why would you want to leave them with nothing when you die? And even if you don't have heirs, you can leave behind a legacy and change the world by giving your fortune to a cause that matters to you. I want to generate so much money that it can last for generations, and I want the same for you and your family. You better believe you can do it too. I know you can, because I'm going to show you exactly how. Maybe you think you messed up somewhere along the way, so you just gave up on your dreams that you had earlier in your life. When you graduated, you said you'd be a millionaire by the time you were 30. Well, 30 came and went. Instead of becoming a millionaire, you actually fell financially behind. Way behind. You might actually be falling into the trap that millions of Americans fall into when they start to think that financial freedom is no longer attainable. They simply give up. They toss in the towel and say, not in my lifetime. This audio program will convince you that you have the potential. You just haven't tapped into it. You've tended to play it safe. And you've lowered your goals because part of you is scared of shooting for something big. Perhaps you limped into your career or your business, stayed small, played it safe, and made a decent living for yourself and your family. But you know you can do so much more. I know you can make more money. Maybe you just didn't know how until now. Let me make one thing clear. This is not an audio program that's going to show you how to make a little extra money on the side. How to get slightly better returns on your investments, or how to make incremental upgrades to your lifestyle. The methods I outline here are going to unleash your potential to earn and dramatically change your life. You're no longer going to plan your life around the money you have coming in. Instead, you're going to dream big, picture a lifestyle of your design, and take a giant leap into the kind of wealth you've only ever dreamed about. Something is missing in most of us these days. I call it unbridled ambition. A burning, unyielding desire to cross whatever finish line you desire. To stop playing it safe, you need to have so much ambition that the obstacles you face shrink in front of you. The utter lack of ambition is creating generations of people who settle for less. The odds are this is you now. You just didn't want success badly enough. I'm talking about in all areas of your life. Success in relationships, success in careers, success in health, and you better believe it, success in your bank account. What you really want is comfort, and comfort isn't going to get you where you want to go. Together, we are going to build a lifestyle by design, a life that you were meant for. For me, when it comes to success, I know that money is part of the equation, and I'm going to show you why it needs to be for you too. I need you to understand that money plays a big role in happiness. Stop believing that crap that money won't make you happy. It's simply not true. Money matters, and it matters more than you've given it credit for. You need more money to help you achieve your dreams and to give you peace of mind, to give you freedom. Whether you want to make a change for your own life or to the world around you, money gives you the power and courage to put your vision into action. Money is not the pursuit of greed. It is not something to be ashamed of or boastful about. Rather, money is like oxygen. In my mind, it is a requirement of happiness because money helps you live a lifestyle by design, your design. Regardless of whether you want to have the private jet, the mansions, the trips to exotic locations, or maybe just an early retirement so you can spend your life golfing all day, you can't do any of it to the fullest without a constant stream of income. You need more money to provide you the freedom and security so that when you are doing what you are meant to do, you can do it to the fullest. Lastly, you will need a guide to take you through it all. While you need more money than you think, and though you have further to go than you think, getting there is not as complicated as you might imagine. The journey from where you are, even if you're broke, to getting rich enough to live the life you've always wanted can be broken down into six simple steps. And I'm going to break down each one of those steps for you in ways that apply to you and your situation. But first, you're going to need a wake-up call. This audio program is divided into two parts. In part one, the wake-up call, it's time to wake the hell up. I'm going to shake you out of what I call the false positive, the illusion that you're doing all right, which can be shattered at any moment. Life comes at you fast in ways you can't expect. We'll take a hard look at why the only way to be prepared is to have more money. Once you've woken up to the reality that you need more money, I'm going to show you how changing your money mindset, the way you think and talk about money, is the most fundamental thing holding you back. You're going to go from being a blamer to being a game facer. And while those around you waste their time and money trying to keep up with each other, you'll be quietly zooming past them as you stack and rack cash to put towards achieving your ultimate ambitions. In part two, the roadmap, I'll give you the tangible step-by-step process to make it happen. We're going to evaluate the gap between your current financial state and how much money you need to live your lifestyle by design. Then, chart a course to launching yourself into real wealth. We're going to find the right people to help you on your journey and immediately start putting aside money to invest in your dreams. We'll identify your superpower, the skill or quality that you can rely on as you build your wealth, and evaluate whether you can ascend to great heights within your current organization or whether you need to switch jobs, switch industries, or even go out on your own and build what I call a personal ATM to close your money gap. Income stagnation and the lack of real savings are epidemics in the United States of America. But you can do better. Change your financial future and break the chain of habits instilled in you by your parents, your siblings, and your friends. Today is the day that you and I will start to make it happen. I'm your advocate, I'm your coach, and I'm your confidant. But most importantly, I'm your biggest fan. I want you to win, but it's you who will need to put the strategies into action. I started from the absolute bottom and worked my way up into financial security, all without a mentor or much knowledge. Hell, I went to cooking school, for goodness sake. If I can do that, then not only can you do it, but you have an advantage because you now have the benefit of everything I've learned to catapult you into success. Not only can you win at this, but I want you to beat me. Nothing would make me happier than to get a call or an email from you telling me how you kicked the shit out of my money. That would be the greatest gift of all, to have helped you beat me at my own game. But know this, I'm ridiculously competitive. And you'll need to be the same if you want more. More love, more achievements, more success, and damn straight more money. Let the games begin, my friend. Part 1, The Wake-Up Call. Chapter 1, Your Money Mindset is Broken. It can all change in an instant. When my brother-in-law John moved from Little Rock, Arkansas to Dallas, Texas with his wife and four children a few years ago, my family was thrilled. It allowed us all, my family of five, his family of six, and my mother-in-law Gigi to see each other a lot. Our favorite tradition was Easter Sunday at Gigi's house. She cooked, and the children played football outside together. And Gigi and my beloved wife, Rocky, were able to dote on John. John and Rocky are technically half brother and sister, but if you ever mention that, they would both kick your ass. To say that Rocky, her sister Janelle, and Gigi were crazy in love with John would be an understatement. They were fiercely protective of him and worshipped the ground that he walked on. You see, life was always a little bit difficult for John. His birth father never made an impact in his life, and his adopted father was worthless. Gigi's first husband, the father of John and his sister Janelle, was non-existent. After John was born, he was gone. When Gigi remarried, she and her new husband had Rocky. Rocky's dad left the family when she was 11, and no one heard from him for 3 full years. After that divorce, Gigi remarried again to a real winner, who basically showed them the world of drinking, laziness, and negativity. My wife got away from it all at 16 when she moved in with her best friend to finish high school with some structure, but the impact of an absent father left John without a roadmap. John did the best he could without any guidance. High school was a challenge, he never considered college, and he went into the workforce underskilled. But through it all, his mother's husbands, the lack of father figures, and any authority figures leaving their family, John was always there for the women in his life. Rocky, Janelle, and Gigi considered that enough to earn 110% of their love, and they made sure John knew it every chance they could. In their eyes, he could do no wrong. And once again, if my wife, her sister, or her mom heard you criticize John, they would drop gloves and fight you on the spot. See, John's financial situation was like chicken and feathers. At times he was eating chicken. At other times he was eating feathers. It was always an up and down situation, fueled by household moves, job changes, and the idea that the next job would be the home run. On Easter Sunday in 2014, when John and his family came to the door at Gigi's, we all jumped up and shared hugs. The kids ran outside and it had all the makings of another great Easter at Gigi's house. But when I got to John, he looked exhausted. His skin was pale and without question, he had dropped weight. I hugged him and said, "Wow, John, you've lost some weight." "Maybe 5 pounds," said John. "More like 20 to 25 pounds, I thought. When dinner was served, I noticed that John hardly touched his plate. Gigi always made a ton of food because of how much John and I would gulp down. But today he hardly ate a bite. It was odd, but we didn't comment much on it. After dinner, John and I hit the couch to watch the game. Within minutes, John was asleep. I sat by his side, watching the game quietly. Around 15 minutes later, John awoke suddenly, almost in a panic. His eyes shot wide open as he grabbed my arm and leaned over to me. He said in a whisper, "I haven't felt worth a shit in months. I'm going to the doctor in the morning to get it checked out." That should have been that. My brother-in-law, beloved by so many, especially his wife and 4 children, and considered superhuman by my wife, his sister, and his mother, should have simply gone to the doctor on Monday, gotten a shot, and gone back to work on Tuesday. But John wasn't okay. The doctor he saw on Monday sent him straight to the emergency room. At age 46, and as we were soon to find out, with no health insurance, no life insurance, and less than $100 in the bank, our beloved John was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Our lives, none of them, would ever be the same again. The difference money can make. Normal can change in an instant. Firings, regulations, buyouts, mergers, or even a cancer diagnosis can occur without any of it being your fault. My brother-in-law had busted his butt for 20 years, had nothing to show for it, and was filled with guilt when he discovered he was dying. For years, he'd known that he needed more money to keep his family secure, but now it was too late. At this point in my life, I already had the wake-up call that made me realize I needed more money. My brother-in-law's stage 4 cancer only convinced me that I could never rest. I didn't stop when I was doing okay because I knew it could all change in a minute, and it did. While this kind of tragedy showed me how a lack of money and preparation can cause havoc, on the other side, I saw the power that having money can make on a difficult situation. The outpouring of emotional support from the community of Coppell, Texas was incredible. People provided food, gifts, clothes, and even some cash. But when it came to ultimately helping with the money situation, whether it was John's past due bills or the rent, Rocky and I were able to step in and take care of it so John's family could hold things together during his sickness. Being able to write checks without worrying about how it would affect my family's future is the greatest gift I have ever been fortunate enough to give. Finding yourself in a situation like John's would be devastating, but even less extreme circumstances can cause a major crisis. You want to be in the spot where you don't have to worry about what would happen if everything in your life changed. Right now, you don't have enough savings, enough wealth, and enough of a plan, and it's finally time to admit it. You need more money. Acknowledging this is the first step to changing your financial situation in your life. If everything goes south tomorrow, you're screwed. You don't have enough money saved. The college account for your children is underfunded, as is your retirement account. And if just one little blip hits your financial situation, it's all going to come tumbling down. Would you be okay if everything changed? I doubt it. And it should keep you up at night, just like it did for me. I tell you this to make you understand two things. First, understand how quickly your financial situation can change. The vast majority of things in this world are out of your control. You can't control how new regulations will affect your business, the strength of new competitors, how returns on the stock market will pay out, or even what health issues may arise. All of this means you need to focus harder on one thing that you can control. You need to get your money in order. Second, you need to understand the power that money gives you. I'm not talking about power for the sake of prestige or notoriety or fame. I'm talking about the power to lift the guilt from a dying man's shoulders. When I saw that my brother-in-law was scared of dying and leaving his family with nothing because he hadn't gotten his finances into shape, my wife and I were able to step in because of our financial success and remove the burden from his shoulders so he could focus on his recovery. Chances are you'll face a time in your life when a family member or close friend faces a crisis and needs all the help they can get. It may not even be that they need help paying their bills. If you have a sick friend, they may just want you to be by their side. Can you afford to take time off of work to spend time with them? Can you afford to let your friend's wife borrow your car to do errands? Can you pay to get their air conditioner or heater fixed? Good news can cause a crisis too. Maybe your insanely smart niece gets into an Ivy League school, but your sister can't afford the tuition. Aren't you going to want to pitch in? In these kinds of situations, too many people find themselves unable to offer much of a helping hand, since they too are busy struggling with their own financial worries. When you're rich, you'll find that you have a lot more freedom and flexibility to drop everything in a crisis so you can focus on the thing that really matters without having to worry about missing a paycheck. False positive. When you think you're doing okay, but really, you're broke. Until my brother-in-law's diagnosis, I thought he had been doing okay financially. You probably think you're doing okay too. You might be at a point where you're able to pay the bills and take your significant other out for a nice steak dinner. Hell, you might actually be able to go on nice vacations and drive nice cars. But that's the problem. You're spending your future income today at an alarming rate. You are living in what I call false positive. False positive is believing that you are doing better than you actually are. Just because you can purchase something without overdrawing your bank account doesn't mean you can afford it. The biggest and most detrimental lie you can tell yourself is, I'm doing okay financially. Once you start to believe that you are okay financially, you'll start to get irresponsible with your money. And that doesn't just mean spending more than you should. You'll also take your hand off the throttle and stop pushing yourself to increase your earnings. I see it all the time in my business of equipment financing. My company finances heavy equipment like big rigs and heavy-duty tow trucks. I hear customers tell me all the time, my trucks are paid for, I'm in good shape. And you know what they do? They don't charge enough for their services. Therefore, they don't have enough cash left over for long-term repair and maintenance, and they end up falling behind and never catch up. The lack of pressure because of no payments due or any debt service allows the financial grim reaper complacency to creep in. While they think they're in a position of strength, a competitor who is 100% on his game suddenly shows up in their territory and eats their lunch. The same thing can happen to you in your personal financial journey. If you fall into false positive and stop pushing for more income, more savings, more stacks and racks of cash, you too can get complacent and eventually be caught off guard. Today is the day you stop living in false positive. False positive is the single most dangerous deterrent to financial success. It tricks you into believing that you aren't broke just because you're able to make ends meet. You need to realize that even when you're paying your bills on time and have a little extra left over in the bank, the moment you factor in future expenses of retirement, childcare, and healthcare, your financial picture starts to look grim. Most people think that being broke is only for the lowest earners, but many people who earn good money are actually broke too. Here's a simple rule of thumb to figure out whether you're broke. You're broke if you have to go to work each day to earn a paycheck to pay your bills this week, and you don't have much of a choice about it. Broke is being unable to quit your dead-end job to free yourself up to look for a better one because you can't afford to go 2 or 3 months without a paycheck. Broke is a terrible place to live. There's no freedom and certainly no wiggle room in the event of a crisis. If you haven't taken a long, hard look at how close you are to being broke, you're not just lying to others about how well you're doing, you're lying to yourself. You will look for any evidence that you're doing better than you think. Closing a small deal or getting a 3% yearly raise, even getting a tax refund check, which is really your own money you've let Uncle Sam hold on to for a year. But these little bumps don't create wealth. They're just helping you live in false positive, making you think that you're doing okay. The false positive test at the end of this chapter will help you determine whether you are really doing okay or just fooling yourself. The numbers you're aiming for are too low. Part of what keeps many people in false positive is a warped sense of what counts as good money today. $100,000 ain't what it used to be. When I graduated college in 1991, in order to be considered in the top 1% of all earners in America, you needed to earn $100,000 a year. Today, in order to be in the top 1% of all earners, you need to earn $384,000 per year. You can see instantly how $100,000 doesn't stretch how it used to. Yet so many people still think that $100,000 is a lot of money. And look, if you don't earn anywhere close to that, then yes, $100,000 is a lot of money to you. But just because you don't earn it doesn't mean it's good. It's fine to chase a number as long as it's accurate. But when it comes to money, most of us are still chasing numbers that have long passed their level of meaningfulness. Let me show you exactly what I mean by comparing the cost of basic living expenses from 2000 versus 2014. You will quickly see that it simply takes more money to live. The average home price in 2000 was $161,000. In 2014, it's $242,000. The average monthly rent in 2000 was $635. In 2014, it's $890. The average cost of a new car in 2000 was $20,300. In 2014, it's $31,500. The average movie ticket in 2000 was $5.25, and in 2014, it's $10.25. The average cost of gas per gallon in 2000 was $1.27, And in 2014, it's $3.51. And the big one, annual healthcare costs in 2000 was $4,550. In 2014, it's $9,300. Basically, the cost of living has increased 31% between 2000 and 2014. But the earning power of most Americans has not kept up. During this time, the wages of the lowest percentile of wage earners has actually decreased by 3%, and the highest bracket of earners has only increased 9%. What that means is that the lowest income bracket actually lost income and buying power. Therefore, regardless of whether you are at the top or the bottom of the earning scale, your wage increase has not kept up with the increase in living expenses. Without a doubt, the money has moved. The question is, have you moved with it? Being a millionaire isn't good enough either. All right, you might be thinking, if an annual income of $100,000 isn't good enough, maybe I should be dreaming of becoming a millionaire. So many of us are still chasing the millionaire dream. It just sounds so nice. I'm a millionaire. There's only one problem. If you can get any millionaire to open up about it, they'll tell you it's not as much as you think it is. Becoming a millionaire was a worthy goal in the 1950s, 60s, and maybe the 70s, but since those decades, it just isn't what it once was. As I've just shown you, a dollar doesn't stretch like it used to, and while being a millionaire is nice, it certainly doesn't have the same impact as it did even as little as a decade ago. Remember, the money has moved. What's more, it's still moving. If a dollar doesn't stretch now as far as it used to, it's going to stretch even less by the time you hit retirement. I say all of this to make one point. You need more than $1 million when you retire. Let's look at a $1 million retirement investment. If you have $1 million saved up by retirement, and you put it in a conservative investment of tax-free municipal bonds that pay a 3% annual rate of return, your million will pay you $30,000 a year or $2,500 a month. Add to it the average Social Security benefit, if it doesn't run out, of $1,366 a month, and your millionaire status affords you a lifestyle of $3,866 a month. And let's not forget that $3,866 in the future will not stretch as much as it does today. It's not exactly going to pay for Tuscany in the summer, a first-class flight to Bali, or any of the other fantasies you imagined in your golden years as a millionaire. And helping your son or daughter pay for your grandchildren's education? Forget about it. Your kids are going to be paying for you to come and visit them. Let's say you wanted to live on $100,000 a year in retirement. Your tax-free municipal bond investment and your entire nest egg would be completely gone in approximately 11 years. The average American life expectancy of a man is pushing 80 years old, and a woman pushing slightly higher than 80 years old. Therefore, if you retired at 65 years old, you would be broke by 76 and still have 4 or more years to live. Once again, while $1 million is substantially more than the average American has saved in their lifetime, it's not nearly as much as you think. I need you to get this point. Don't compare yourself to the average American because the average American struggles to make ends meet in retirement. The purpose of this audio program is to open your eyes, reignite your fuel, to squash your complacency, and to give you the roadmap to not just $1 million, but millions of dollars to live the life and achieve the dreams that most of us actually have. Action step, the false positive test. Think you're above all this? Then take my false positive test and we'll see. How many of the statements below are true of your current financial situation? Number one, you have at least 6 months of savings, not 401ks, not in retirement, but cash sitting in the bank. If you lost your job today, your savings would cover you for all of your expenses for 6 months. Number two, you have a credit rating of 700 or above. Number three, you are paying your bills from current cash and not from debt. Number four, for every decade starting at age 20, you have, this is super important here, from age 20 to 29, you have one times one full year of your annual income or more as your net worth. Net worth is simply your assets, what you own, minus your liabilities, what you owe. Age 30 to 39, you have three times three full years of your annual income or more as your net worth. Age 40 to 49, you have five times five full years of your annual income or more as your net worth. And age 50 and above, you have 10 times 10 full years of your annual income or more as your net worth. If you have fewer than three of the four, warning, false positive alert, you are playing with fire. And it could all change in an instant. If you're confused about how well you're really doing, let me break the news for you. You're broke, and you need to fix that immediately. Over the next few chapters, I'm going to show you exactly how. If you have items 1, 2, and 3 covered, congratulations. You're better off than most people. You have the flexibility to quit and look for a higher paying job or cushion yourself from a minor crisis like a fender bender, but you still need more money if you want to have any hope of doing the things you dreamed of, whether it's retiring at 45 or paying for your kids to go to a private academy. But you're not really out of false positive until you satisfy the conditions of item 4. This formula works as an incredible baseline for you to base your financial health against. Let me explain why. The key formula, 1 times, 3 times, 5 times, 10 times. I've tested this formula against hundreds of people. I have tested it against the poorest and the wealthiest people I know, and we all agree it works and is accurate. The reason this formula works so well is that it forces both low earners and high earners to check their spending. I know people who earn $250,000 a year who are in their 50s and have less than one times their annual income as their net worth. This is why most Americans are actually broke. They spend it all. If you are 25 years old and earn $50,000 per year in income, you should have a net worth of $50,000. This means that you should have assets, what you own, minus liabilities, what you owe, that equal $50,000. As your income and age increase, so does the demand for a more robust net worth. In the final stage of my formula, you will be in your 50s and you should have a net worth of 10 times your annual income. Thus, if you are earning $250,000 a year at that time, you should have a net worth of $2.5 million. Do this math now and determine your own result. Odds are you are behind, way behind. In some cases, you're still broke, so you're going to need to keep on listening. But trust me, I'm going to help you get ahead of the curve and get out of broke faster, which is very good for you. Chapter 2, Fixing Your Money Mindset. Panic Mode. Rocky called me in a panic on that Tuesday to tell me my brother-in-law John was admitted to the emergency room and of his diagnosis. John had advanced germ cell cancer. This is a type of cancer normally reserved for young boys with a high cure rate. Unfortunately, adults with germ cell have a much lower cure rate. The cancer gets into their lungs, and according to the editorial board at www.cancer.net, while children have a survival rate of 87%, it is much, much lower in adults. If you've ever received news like this, you know the strength of the gut punch it delivers. It takes your breath away in an instant. Every emotion in your body fires up on the spot, and it's a miracle that you can stand up straight. For my wife and Gigi, they couldn't. When I arrived home, they were sobbing uncontrollably. How could this happen to John? He was the only man in their lives other than me who had never left them. As a businessman, I went into fix-it mode. We put a plan together, and getting John better was our mission. We questioned the doctors, Googled everything, and pulled together to beat this thing. Within a day, Rocky and I had what was like a task force assembled between our family, John's family, Janelle, and Gigi, and we were going to be a force to be reckoned with. I went to see John to talk about money. Don't fool yourself. There is no zero-down financing with cancer. You need to have insurance and some real cash working for you to get the best treatment. I told him that together we were going to kick cancer, that he was going to be okay. Let me help you, I said. You focus on getting better and I will handle the financial details. Let's talk about how we can work with your insurance provider to get you the best care. Who is your insurance provider? John looked at me. I don't have insurance, he responded. No insurance, I said. None, said John. Okay, I said. How about cash? How much do you and Lori have? Less than $100, he said. No health insurance and less than $100 in the bank, I replied. I was puzzled. I don't understand. You've worked for more than 25 years. Some years were lean, but some were good years for you. I thought you had a 401k when you worked for the BMW dealership. I did, but I cashed it in a few years ago. He paused and looked away. Matt, there's more. I'm 10 months behind on the rent on my house. As nuts as it sounds, John was actually 10 months behind on his rent, and, charmer that he was, kept talking his landlord into letting him stay. John took a deep breath. I don't have life insurance either. If we don't kick this, my family will have nothing, zero, not a dime. I kept a stern face for John, but inside I was in shock. My mind was racing on this news. How could this have happened? After more than 25 years of work, John literally had no life insurance, no health insurance, a rented house, and less than $100 in the bank. I had had a sense that John was financially behind, but I never could have imagined such a dire situation. John had always been handsome, a sharp dresser, and good with small talk, which made everyone like him instantly, especially me. We had known each other for 19 years, and during that time, we never had a cross word. But the one thing he never liked to discuss was money. When he was in between jobs, I often tried bringing up the question of finances, but John always shut down the conversation by saying, "I have time. I know I'm behind, but I have time." John had worked for me twice, and despite how difficult it can be to work with family, for us it was fine. I always wanted to help John move to the next level financially, especially because Rocky wanted her brother to be elevated past broke. But our time in the office together didn't create the results any of us wanted. When we parted ways both times, it never created issues between us. John always knew that I would love and cherish his baby sister, and I'm sure that that had a lot to do with our friendship. John and I often talked about what his true calling or his superpower might be, and we realized it was in the church. John was powerful and accepted in the church. He was himself there, and he could have been an amazing youth pastor or maybe even a pastor of a church. But instead, because he was always behind with his money, he spent most of his career as a salesperson, struggling to get out from under his debts. The pressure of constantly borrowing from Peter to pay Paul steals freedom from millions and millions of people, and it stole from my brother-in-law John. It stole opportunity, happiness, a good night's sleep, quality time with his kids, and his freedom to live his lifestyle by design. In the end, cancer and the stress of chasing money stole his life. Why was John so secretive about his finances? Why are any of us so secretive? How did the discussion of money become so private and guarded? Maybe it's because we feel ashamed when we're not doing well and embarrassed when we are. When we're not doing well, we think it says something about our character and who we are at our core. We know we could and should be doing better, so we don't want to let people know where we are, lest we be judged. When we're doing well, we're nervous that people will judge us as boastful or money-grubbing. The first step to fixing your money mindset is to let go of these anxieties and accept the truth of your financial situation. Get honest with it all now, with yourself and with the people who matter to you. Don't wait until it's too late to get real with your money situation. If you don't face the truth voluntarily, you'll eventually be forced to face it. "Matt," John said to me, "I can't earn money now. Please do me a favor. Don't let my family go homeless." When you look into the eyes of a friend or a family member who has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, you see right through to his heart. There is no disguising that he might die. The truth jumps out at you like a fire that just got a dose of lighter fluid. I saw firsthand how the guilt of not being prepared in a life and death situation creates the ultimate vulnerability. As I looked at John after these revelations, I had only one answer for him, the answer that Rocky and I would both easily come to agree upon. There isn't a snowball's chance in hell that Rocky or I would ever let that happen, I assured him. "I promise you, we will handle the money situation for you. We got you, John. Rocky and I got you covered. You just focus on getting better." I hugged him, and I left to get to work. How I learned to be honest about money. For many of my years in business, I was broke or nearly broke, and I couldn't be honest about it, not even with my own wife. In the early days of our marriage, on Friday nights, when I got home after a long week of busting my ass, Rocky would ask me, "How'd we do this week?" Most Friday nights I would lie to her and tell her that we did well. She would smile and leave it alone until the cracks in my lies started to show. Like when our electric got cut off and we couldn't pay the full balance. I made up a convoluted explanation for why we were behind on our bills. I was too much of a wimp to tell her the simple truth, that we didn't have the money to pay the bill in full. I ended up having to borrow the money just to make the minimum payment to get the lights turned back on. This game went on for far too long in our marriage. Not for days or weeks or months, but years. Years of hiding behind a struggling business that could barely pay my household bills, let alone fund savings or retirement or college accounts. Most Fridays I would lie and tell my wife business was good, and as long as the lights were turned on, she would leave it alone. Gradually, though, Rocky started to see through my bullshit. When business started to take such a bad turn that I couldn't even borrow money to make up the shortfall, it became impossible to hide it, and Rocky stopped being nice about it. I slowly realized that I couldn't keep up this pattern of lies, and I had to come clean. I remember the one Friday night when I decided to finally tell Rocky the truth, without making excuses or trying to sugarcoat it. I came clean about everything, that I hadn't been telling her the truth about the real state of our finances, that we were actually struggling and not doing as well as I had led her to believe. She asked me if I paid myself for the week, and I said no. She looked at me with disgust. "How could you do that to us?" she said. "How could you do that to me and our boys?" Then she said, "I'm going to ask you one more question. Did you pay your employees?" And I said, "Yes." When I told her this, she lost her mind. She started stamping her feet, crying uncontrollably. "What is the matter with you? Why would you choose your employees over us?" she said. "One day, Matt, you will realize that you are so much bigger than your business." Then she ran into our bedroom and slammed the door, leaving me in silence. I spent the night on the couch, unable to sleep. I was used to disappointing myself for years, but now my wife, my boys, my family, disappointing Rocky was the ultimate low. She didn't care about money. Hell, when we were married, I had nothing, so love was all we had. But she sure as hell didn't like being lied to. Coming clean and facing Rocky's anger and disappointment were the catalysts I needed to change. That night, I resolved to do two things. One, build a $100 million a year business. And two, make sure my wife never worried about our money situation again. Today, I can proudly say I've done both. My first company, Commercial Fleet Financing Incorporated, has now funded over $1 billion in equipment loans and leases. We are one of the largest independent finance companies in the equipment financing industry. After I made that commitment on the couch that night, it took me only 18 months to reach the $100 million per year goal I set on that Friday night on that couch. And my sweet Rocky has never asked me about our money situation again. Just 18 months later, I wasn't just out of the poorhouse. I had rocketed out of the middle class forever. Getting honest is the key. How did I turn my business around in such a short time when I had struggled for years just to keep it afloat? It all changed that night when I decided to come clean. The relief I felt at telling Rocky the truth was incredible. I no longer felt that suffocating guilt that had been driving a wedge between us. You know that feeling, don't you? The lack of self-worth, the shame that the lie causes you to feel, facing the facts and putting on my big boy pants to tell my wife the truth was liberating. When I stopped worrying about maintaining the appearance of doing okay, I was able to free myself to focus on fixing the business and get on track to not be average. I committed to altering the situation once and for all. I drew a line in the sand on that day, and that was all it took for me to blast off with 100% unwavering commitment. You have that same power, the power to draw a line in the sand today, right now, that will remove the guilt, clean the slate, and catapult you to financial freedom. Stop lying to yourself and everyone else. Commit to owning your current financial situation and stop the cover-up. I will walk with you side by side as you listen to this book to provide you with the support and the real-life tactics that will set you free and allow you to put your money guilt behind you once and for all. We constantly lie to ourselves and hide the truth about our finances from the people around us. But getting honest is the first step to breaking out of our fear of money and empowering ourselves to take control of it. Money wants to be submissive. It wants you to tame it, to take full control of it, and manhandle it. But until you decide to do just that, it will boss and slap you around. It's time to move up the food chain, get out of broke and the middle class, and move into rich. And it all starts with recognizing and changing your money mindset. What is your money mindset? Many people do not earn the income they deserve or need because of the pressure their surroundings put on them regarding money. They have either grown up with or bought into a mindset based on their circumstances, and that determines how they feel, talk about, and act towards money. The way I see it, you can sort people into three categories depending on the mindset they currently have about money: the blamers, the dreamers, and the game facers. Every broke person I know has the same mindset about money, which is why I call them the blamers. Besides the fact that a person with a blamer mindset will never admit the truth about their money, here's what you can expect to hear from a blamer. Money won't make you happy. I'm not money motivated. Money is the root of all evil. The economy is bad. I didn't grow up with money. The blamers are the ones who would much rather not have conversations about money, and when they do, are always full of excuses for why they're broke. They make these excuses because in reality, they think their financial situation is never their fault, and they believe there's nothing they can do to change it. Blamers also find ways to trick themselves into thinking that they have enough. Meanwhile, every stuck-in-the-middle-class person I know has the same mindset about money. I call them the dreamers. I know I'm talking to a dreamer when I hear things like, I need more money. I just don't know how to go get it. Someday, when I win the lottery, when I become a millionaire, I'm doing okay, and if I just work a little harder, I'll get there. Dreamers want to make more money, but they aren't doing anything to make those dreams a reality. They think that more money will just happen to them without understanding that they need to work smarter and get in gear to go and get it for themselves. Finally, every rich person I know has the same mindset about money, which garners them the label game facers. They say things like, I need more money. I've worked out a plan for how I'm going to get it, and I'm putting my plan into action. Money solves problems. Money is a tool that should be used to make more money. Money provides me freedom, and freedom is the end goal. Game facers always have their game face on and want nothing more than to jump in and face the game when it comes to their financial situation. They don't mess around. They are ready to play offense when it comes to their finances, and they play the game of money to win. I've observed these mindsets in action on the second Tuesday of every month at a poker game that's been hosted by my old neighbor, Stanley. You will hear more about Stanley later. For the past 13 years, the same group shows up every month, and most of them are about 25 years older than me. Whenever we're at Stanley's place, something fascinating happens when the topic of money comes up. My friend Stanley, arguably the most well-off member, is always happy to talk about money. Jack, who made a ton of money and saved a ton of money, almost feels guilty because of his money, but never shies away from getting into a discussion about it. Stanley and Jack are both clear game facers. Mike, who had money and lost it, wants us all to still think he has it. Because he's a dreamer, he isn't awake to the fact that he's broke. Bobby, who made a lot of money and has a wife who refuses to let him keep it because of their spending habits, has clouded his mind to think that he has enough. Another trait of classic dreamers who don't live in reality that they are not okay. And Charlie, who never really made a lot of money, spent every last dime of it, and is the first to ask if he can take your plate to the kitchen when we talk about money. This guy literally leaves the room when we talk about money. Yep, Charlie's a blamer. And then there's me, 25 years younger than these guys. And for most of the history of the game, I didn't have any real money. I was a dreamer for way too long before I got it together and became a game facer. But even though there were moments during all that time when I felt ashamed by how broke I was, I never shied away from a conversation about money. I knew I wasn't going to learn anything or change if I didn't see talking about money as an opportunity. Instead, I perked my ears up listened, and asked questions. When Stanley or Jack had something to say on the topic of money, I made sure to pay attention and understand what they were talking about and how they learned what they knew.